Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
We are back for another week of Hockey Central at noon here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. The boss man taking a long weekend. So Peter Klein riding solo with you today. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be catching up with Brad Curl and get our WHL report. But first, let's catch up with our Flames insider, Peter Loubardias.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Everything around the All-Star, it's awesome. It's awesome experience for me to be in a locker room with the best players on the world. That's thing what you're never going to forget.
Mr. Loubardias, quite the weekend for the Flames goaltender as David Rittich, part of the winning group at NHL All-Star Weekend. And while we think that a lot of players think of the All-Star Weekend as an inconvenience sometimes, that was one particular goaltender who loved every second of the experience.
Well, did anyone, Mr. Klein, embrace it more than David?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't think so either. Now, needless to say, the Tkachuk story was an amazing one in its own way, for sure. I think the reason you embrace most things is because what it means. And I think for David Rittich, while, you know, in his number one language is not English, I think David Rittich, when he was named to the All-Star team, that meant that he arrived. And that's a big thing. And it's a bigger thing for someone who was quick to admit and quick to point out that many years ago, playing in the NHL, period, Mr. Klein, felt like it probably wasn't a huge reality. But to come from where he's come from, to arrive at it the way he's arrived at it, when things come easy to us, no matter what it is, I don't know if you can ever have the same appreciation, but when it is your goal and your hope and your dream, and at least for a weekend, you arrived and all the work and all the nights that you had to tell yourself, no, it's going to change. It's going to get better. I've got a chance. I think that's what this weekend was for him. And I think he went there and he understood it and he played his tail off. And he was a big reason, frankly, why the Pacific Division won the 3-on-3 tournament for what you care and what you make of it. And I don't make very much out of it, but I know he did. And that's who he is. He's a competitor. He has a lot of fun. He cares. He cares deeply. He works at his craft. This summer, he rededicated himself to be in better shape, to get to a better place. All he has done since he arrived in North America is one thing, get better. And that's on him. So he deserved it. He embraced it. And I think you were part of this hit when I talked about the one thing I'd hoped for him was that it would truly help galvanize him and his confidence. I think that happened, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, we definitely will, but I don't think it's a coincidence that two of his best games in the last little bit were immediately after he found out he was going to the game. The Ottawa game is a weird whatever blip game. But the two games after he found out he was going to the All-Star were two games where he really got back on track, and I don't think that's just a coincidence.
I don't think it's a coincidence either, because I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do for a living. Confidence means everything. Everything. When we feel like we are making a difference and we matter, I don't care what you do for a living, it's massive. And it allows us to come to work and feel better. And when we come to work, whether you're a broadcaster, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, whether you build houses, I don't care what you do, you're going to be better. when we believe that the people that matter feel like we make a difference, now it's up to us. We have to generate our own breaks and our own confidence and our own will to take us to places that we want to go to. I've never learned more than probably in the last 2 years of my life about get back to work, understand who you are, what you are, get back to basics, and do the work. Well, David Riddick, he's done the work. And I'm absolutely more delighted for him than maybe anyone else. Because I don't know. Now, I've certainly known lots of people, had interactions, watched them come up through the ranks in terms of a lot of people who participated this weekend. But I think the David Riddick story is just fabulous. And it's a tribute to his belief and his work.
Other Flames news over the break. Buddy Robinson is on his way to the National Hockey League. He gets the call-up from the Stockton Heat. A player who kind of captured a few hearts during the preseason, I think, in no small part because his name is Buddy, but also because of the work that he was putting in. Now he gets the call-up to the NHL. What do you envision his role being with the Calgary Flames?
Not sure. Yeah. Not sure. Here's what I do know about Buddy Robinson. When I chatted in the last couple of weeks with Flames player development, one of the heads of player development, and Ron Sutter told me that he felt like from the start of the season to right now, Buddy Robinson has arguably been as consistent a performer as anyone in Stockton. And as you know, Mr. Klein, they've had a good year. And there's been some really good stories. Glenn Godden, before he got hurt, Matthew Phillips, Alan Quine has done some great things. There's been lots of good, and there's been lots of winning in Stockton, and that never hurts. But when Ron said that to me a couple of weeks ago during one of the Flames games upstairs in the press box, and then I saw the news yesterday, two things happened. A, when you, again, put in the work and do it the right way, the organization will recognize it. They have recognized it, and good for him to have a call-up. Now, what does it mean in terms of tomorrow? Don't know. What does it mean in terms of his potential of getting in? Don't know. Here's what I do know. Big body. And what hand does he shoot, Mr. Klein? Do you know what hand he shoots?
Off the top of my head, I believe he shoots right-handed. Is that
he
correct?
Does shoot right-handed. Oh, do the right. Flames have a lot of right-handed shooting forwards?
No, they do not.
No, they do not. They do not. So big body, right-handed shooting forward. And I must say, so as much as I thought about Buddy Robinson, and good for him, and you've done the work, and you've been consistent, and you might give this team another element, I'll tell you what else went through my mind. What's coming next?
Yeah.
What's coming next? We are less than a month now away from the trade deadline. The Calgary Flames find themselves 1 point out of first in a season, including the last three games that they played, that were filled more, frankly, and this might sound harsh, with inconsistency than consistency. So what does that mean? Well, it means you're looking, and they're looking. Don't kid yourself. They're looking. This general manager is always looking. He's always not only formulating this season, but thinking about what's next in terms of what he wants to do and where he wants to go forward and who he wants to go forward with. Now, I think you'd be of the agreement, Mr. Klein, that this year, that puzzle has not fit the way many had hoped.
Right. Yeah, without a doubt.
It hasn't. It hasn't. But, are you still in a great position? You are.
Yeah.
What do you think happens for hockey coaches and hockey executives during a 9-day break? What do you think first and foremost happens?
A lot of reflection on where the team is at.
A lot of reflection, a lot of analyzing, a lot of where do we go next with its groupings. So we'll watch practice today at 2 o'clock. That will be part of it. How will the coaches, they spent their time taking a few days to not only reflect, but they needed a break. Everybody around this team, I feel, needed a break. It's not been easy. But one of the reasons it's not been easy, A, there's been some unique and very difficult circumstances that they fought their way through, but whether you heard it or not, because you were not with me on all the hits last week, but my main theme was we have 32 games left for this edition of the Calgary Flames. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? Because you can't change any of the rest of it. You can't. But here's what I do know. Do they have 15 division games, including two huge ones this week? Yes. Are you in a position to control your own destiny and potentially do two things? You could win another Pacific Division crown. And I think, more importantly, can you end this run of a decade where you don't go to the playoffs in back-to-back years? Yes, you can. Have you arrived in a better position the last few years because your general manager, in part, with help and development of players, are the Calgary Flames in a better position today than they have been? Yes, they are. Do I think they're still growing to bigger and better places? Yes, I do. But this core group, and I said it last Monday, I'll say it this Monday. This is a huge time from here to the end of the season for this organization in terms of evaluation. Peter, they can't miss.
No.
They really, like, if they can't. Now, that doesn't mean you've done a lot of wrong things, even if they do. Because I think this team's on track. And your text line now will probably be flooded. And good. Bring it. One day we're going to bring all your texts. You bring them all. Because I see lots of good. Lots of good core pieces right around that 25-year of age mark. Now would I say to you that a couple of key pieces this year have had really tough years? Yes. Is that maybe one of the reasons why you haven't separated yourself? Yes. But are you still as a team in a position to do better and get to better places than you did last spring? Yes. So my theme for the rest of the season is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? This group, this core group, with complete understanding that I think something's coming. Do I think it's going to be a world changer? Not necessarily. Do I think this general manager always wants to add to his core that kind of 25-year and under group that he's built? You're darn right I do. Would that be his first hope? Yes. But the Calgary Flames are kind of stuck, Peter, in a weird spot. Last week, talked about a window. And to Brad Treleving's credit, he never talks about the window because he doesn't believe in it. And he's kind of convinced me, in a sense, not to believe in it. Because the Winnipeg Jets kind of showed us in the cap era, haven't they, that window went from looking like it was wide open, and then the following spring happens, and then what? The window kind of closed, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it happens fast. And the one thing I never get away from is this is a year-to-year business and has to very much be assessed, analyzed, but you don't mess with the good parts of your core until you have given certain core people enough leash to decide what you're going to do. And you can take that however you want, and our listeners can take it however they want. But there's a couple of core pieces they need more from.
Yep.
on this team. And they need it now. And they need it starting tomorrow.
Yeah, when you were...
This is a big few months for this team and organization. It is.
Very much so. And as you mentioned, a few players specifically in there. And when you were asking if this team is in a good spot to go out and win the Pacific Division and make a push for the playoffs, the answer was yes. And in my mind, the answer was they better. Because if they don't, I think there are going to be some pretty tough conversations and some pretty tough moves that are going to have to be made. But we don't have to focus on that just yet, as we do have quite a bit of time between now and then, for sure.
We sure do.
A couple other players who could have potentially big impacts on how the Flames' second half of the season goes. Because last year, when the top line started to falter a little bit, it was a lot of the depth guys who were able to push the Flames toward that Pacific Division title. And Mark Jankowski and Sam Bennett, if this team is going to move forward and have that depth scoring, these are two guys who are going to have to take a bit of a step in the right direction, I would say. Well, where do you see those two guys fitting in right now?
Well, the reason I brought them up to you today in our preamble prior to this hit was two summers ago when I chatted on the radio station about swing guys. Those two swing guys were Mark Jankowski and Sam Bennett. And swing guys, to me, is there certain people in your organization at a certain age who, if they take big steps or even appropriate steps, I think they can really swing your team. Now, in the case of Sam Bennett, let's start with Sam. I think Sam is still on this hockey club for one really important reason. And that's because in the playoffs, including last spring, Sam's been a real good player. And that has held a lot of weight in the organization. And I think it's held a lot of weight with other people around the NHL who still think there's more for Sam Bennett. So he's a swing guy, but have we seen enough consistency in the courses of the regular season? I think it's fair to say the answer is no. And I like Sam. I do. And then there's Mark Jankowski. So good for Mark. I don't think, listen, in that game in Ottawa, that goal meant nothing for the team, but did it mean something for him? This year's been a disaster. Like, you can't even imagine how it goes from 17 goals to 14 goals and 32 points to a goal and an assist. Like, it's not even fathomable. But the point that I wanted to bring up was these are two swing guys. And they're also two guys that, where do you go next? Because when they're right, they can make a big difference. But right now, would you say that Mangiapane and Dubé have probably superseded them on the depth chart?
Oh, yeah.
Is there still time for correction?
Yes.
There is.
Yep.
But with people pushing from the bottom and other people in your stable who are growing and getting better, that's why I look at these two guys as swing guys, because the pendulum, if people are being honest, it hasn't swung the right way. Now, in the case of Jankowski, I know, and I know Wes Gilbertson, who does such a great job for Post Media, had an interview recently about Mark Jankowski with Jeff Ward. And I'm also a big believer in A, you have to assess. B, bad years to me, Peter, aren't really that much different than career years, meaning they generally probably only happen like this once. But where's the real answer? And what do you need? And what can you afford? And when I say afford, I actually mean it. Because the cap matters. and what you make, whether I like it or not. And a lot of days, you know, I don't like it, but it matters. So, you know, I think there's lots of stuff in play with this organization. Now, do I think anything massive and earth moving? No, I don't. Do I think that this general manager would love another piece? Whether it's, I think he'd like another Oscar Fantenberg type for his defense. I do. I think he'd love a top six right-handed shooting forward. I'm looking at a tree in front of a house that I rent. I don't see any of those guys falling out of there right now. And when I look at the big tree across the street, I don't see any of those guys falling out of there either. But, you know, these are just some of the things that I've been thinking about that's important. And now that everybody's back to work, it's go time. There's decisions that have to be made. And kind of the theme of my hits lately, and it's not going to change, is we're in a very, very important window of time and analysis, and it's not easy. It's not easy because you can't look at the tree, and as much as everybody goes, well, do this and trade this and fit, no. It doesn't happen that way. You have to still, I'm a huge believer, I don't care if it's our station, the Calgary Flames, the business across the street, you need to grow from within. That's how you get to a better place. Now, do you have to make tough decisions? Yeah, you do. Going to be an important few months for the team.
Yeah, it's it has the potential to be a lot of fun, but it's going to be very stressful for a lot of people along the way. And I like the point that you make about what the Flames' needs and desires are heading toward the trade deadline, because it's like, okay, looking for potentially a top six forward and some depth defensemen. So they're just, let me check my notes. Oh, so's everyone. Okay, awesome. Great. So 30 other teams are going to be competing for that. Awesome.
Correct.
Lou, I missed these. Missed these over the last little bit. This was a lot of fun today, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We will we'll catch up tomorrow. We'll know a little bit more after practice today. And tomorrow, for the first time in too long, it's a Flames game day.
Oh, that's very true.
Going to be good.
That is. And pretty good opponent, too.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, they had
they're okay.
Yeah, they had a pretty good run starting around this time last season, and it hasn't stopped yet.
No, it hasn't. They're pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good measuring stick. All right, have a good one, Luke.
Yeah, you too.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Very fired up Peter Loubardias today. We are back after, this show hasn't changed. We kept going, but the Flames back in action as they get ready to take on the St. Louis Blues tomorrow. A bit of a different start time for practice today, with it being a 2:00 practice, but they are getting ready for a game day tomorrow. And on those game days, it is Flames warm-up. And during Flames warm-up, it's the iconic moment. Great moments in Flames history during every home and away game. Listen during the pregame show as Pat announces the trivia question. If you know the answer, text it along with the word iconic moment to 960-960. Tune in the next morning as Boomer announces the winner and the name of one qualifier. At the end of the season, one lucky listener will win a trip to the NHL Awards, including airfare, accommodation, plus plus $600 spending cash. Okay, so to recap, two people get to go, and you get $600 spending cash, and all of it thanks to Iconic Electric and Controls, promoting a culture of quality since 2008. Visit iconicec.ca. While the NHL was away, the WHL was still at play. We'll catch up with Brad Curl as we hear from our WHL insider next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Peter Klein back with you as Hockey Central at noon rolls on here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Still to come in the program, we have No BS with Brian Burke, Jeff Merrick, coming up at 1:00. It is the Steinberg Show with Pat Steinberg, and then Pinder and Steinberg reunited we'll see how good it feels coming up at 2 o'clock. But very pleased to be reunited with this man. He is our WHL insider, Brad Curl. Bradley, I haven't had a chance to talk to you in a while. How are you?
You know, it has been a while. I am great. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. I guess the main crux of this is, how have the Hitmen been doing? Winners of three in a row. They're starting to creep up there, in still a ways back in the Central Division, but things seem to be going in the right direction for the Calgary Hitmen.
Most definitely. You know, they're just the victim of a very, very strong, strong Central Division, where you take a look, if they were in, say, the East Division, the same conference of Winnipeg, Prince Albert, Brandon, Saskatoon, we'd be talking about a Hitmen team that's only 4 points out of first place with a game in hand. But here they reside in the Central, where they are 18 points out of first place. So it's more so about, as you say, kind of taking care of your own business and let the chips fall where it may. Because as you know, when the playoffs begin, it doesn't matter if you're the number one seed, the eighth seed, the seventh seed. It really doesn't matter. It's who can play their best hockey. In Calgary right now, 10 games over 500. Coming off a home-and-home sweep of the Red Deer Rebels, they're playing some real good hockey right now.
And from a Calgary perspective, like, they've almost mathematically clinched with how far back Red Deer is. I'm being a little hyperbolic, but you really do get the sense this is a team that can't move that far up in the standings, but they're not going to move very far down in the standings. Is there any concern that there could be a bit of complacency set in when you see that they're kind of just stuck as the number one wildcard team in the Eastern Conference?
You know, it's a great question, because as you allude to, they are 20 points ahead of Red Deer, and Red Deer on the outside of the wild card looking in. You know, you could argue they do have something to play for. Is it wild card one or wild card two? Right now they are in wild card number one with 55 points. In wild card two is Saskatoon with 50, so they have that 5-point cushion there. And the difference being, if you're wild card number one, you'd get the Winnipeg Ice at 59 points in the first round. Wild card two gets the Edmonton Oil Kings at 73 points. So there's a difference there, and not to mention the travel difference. I mean, pick your poison there. Do you want to drive all the way to Winnipeg, or would you rather stay closer to home and play the Oil Kings and then, you know, face a much more difficult team on paper? I think the coaching staff has just sent the message to the players, forget about all that. That's a distraction. Let the media, let guys like Peter Klein and Brad Curl talk about those types of things. Let's just focus on ourselves. And I think we've always seen Calgary have a lot of potential. The season began, there was a lot of promise around this team. But the one thing they haven't had, Peter, all year long is health. There's still not a picture of health. As we know, they lost Yegor Zamula following the World Juniors to season-ending back surgery. The Philadelphia Flyers prospect, who was their top-scoring defenseman at the time, and you pull many around the league, maybe felt that maybe the best defenseman in the Eastern Conference, but how would they react to that? And I think they've reacted very well. I talked to Trent Cassan, the coach that runs the defense. I talked to the players themselves, and they've all been asked to chew off a little bit more. You know, when a good player goes down, you're not going to find another Yegor Zamula, but as a team, you can collectively find a group. And I think the numbers are on the pudding. You know, this is a team that was regarded as one of the best defensive teams at the start of the year, and you look at their last three wins in Winnipeg. How did they do it? Held the ice to just 22 shots on goal. Then they get the Red Deer Rebels for a home-and-home set. They hold Red Deer to 22 shots on goal on Friday night, or Saturday, pardon me. And then on Sunday yesterday, Rebels had 25 shots. So Calgary, I think, has really tightened up defensively as a group since Zamula went down. And offensively, they're just getting contributions from everywhere. But as mentioned, they haven't been 100% healthy. We've still yet to see Kyle Olsen, who was acquired from the Tri-City Americans before the deadline, who had over 70 points last year. So this is a team, I think, that is still climbing up the ladder. How high they can get, that's a good question. I think the next couple of months or so is a chance for them to fine-tune. There's 23 games left in the regular season. So as Steve Hamilton always says, the head coach, try and present your best version of yourself. Calgary, I think, is getting closer to their best version of themselves, but I really think they've got some more to show yet.
Well, and just back to the playoff seeding point for a moment, if they do end up on the Winnipeg side of things, A, you're playing a team that you have basically a similar record to, as you mentioned, only 4 points separating them. By the end of the season, you could be facing a team that you had a better regular season than, and it's just the structure keeping you out of it. But you also get into that side of the bracket, so you wouldn't have to play the winner of a Lethbridge Medicine Hat in the second round or something along those lines, and you don't have to play one of those top teams in the Central until the third round, and we've seen that playoffs can kind of beat up on teams. So getting into that side of the bracket, while frustrating that you're stuck in the wild card, may not be the worst thing for this team.
Yeah, that's a fair statement, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because in this East Division right now resides one of the hottest teams in the Western Hockey League. Nobody's talking about the Brandon Wheat Kings under head coach Dave Lowry, former Flame, and of course former Hitman bench boss. He'll bring his Brandon Wheat Kings into the building on Friday night. Brandon hasn't lost in 11 games. They're 10-0-1. Vegas Golden Knights prospect goaltender Yuri Patera has been absolutely terrific in the pipes as of late. So that, in my estimation, could be the sneaky team in the East Division that might rise and find its way to the top spot. But you know what? I'll throw this to your way, Peter. Last year, Calgary played the Lethbridge Hurricanes in the first round of the playoffs. They had next to no success against Lethbridge in the regular season. Yet, the feeling in the dressing room was, if we can just get in. You remember last year, the Hitmen had to kind of scratch and claw just to get into the playoffs because mm-hmm. of such a horrible start to the year. Well, they scratched, they clawed, they got their way in, and that sense was, if we could just get in, we could be a handful for a team. They felt that as a group. We could be a handful. And sure enough, they were. They faced the Lethbridge Hurricanes, and they push out the Hurricanes in seven games. So I know we like to talk about the regular season and the standings of the differential. I really believe, having watched hockey for a lot of years, it's how you go into the playoffs, how you're playing. And for Calgary, they're just as likely to lose in the first round to a Winnipeg as they are to an Edmonton. So I think it's all about how they perform themselves. And as mentioned, I like what I see lately. They're getting some scoring up and down the lineup. Riley Stotts has been absolutely terrific, the Toronto Maple Leafs prospect. He'd love to play the Red Deer Rebels every game. He's got 9 points in 4 games against Red Deer. He leads the Hitmen in scoring. Mark Kastelic, who was into a bit of a scoring funk lately, snapped out of it against Red Deer. He picked up 4 points in a couple of games, including a couple of goals. He's now the fourth all-time scorer in franchise history. He's only, I believe, 4 points behind Ryan Getzlaff for 10th all-time. And, you know, I talk about Kastelic the way a lot of Flames fans do about Jerome Iginla. Number 12 of the Flames was dominant. Number 12 of the Calgary Hitmen dominant as well. And we're starting to see some other players come along. I think Josh Prokop has really elevated his game in the last month or so. And with Zamula going down, Luke Prokop, who we saw play at the top prospects game, eligible for the upcoming draft, he's really gone to another level. So there's a lot of good internal under-the-radar things that are happening with this group right now. At the end of the day, they just want to get into the playoffs. And as Steve Hamilton says, show your best version of yourself.
Well, and the scenario I brought up, that's the stuff that only us weird broadcasters can think about. The teams just want to get in and just play. I mean, we did this last year with the Flames, right, where it was, well, you know, you really don't want to face Arizona in the first round. If you could get that Colorado matchup, I think the Flames stack up really well against the Avalanche, and that lasted about 10 minutes. So.
Well, the one thing that is forgotten, I think, by those who don't watch playoffs closely is the fact that when you know who you're playing, during the course of the regular season, you don't have time as a coaching staff to really hone in and develop a game plan against that one opponent. Okay, what do they do extremely well? How do we take all those things away? Who do we key in on? But when you match up in a playoff series, it completely changes the dynamic, because quite often you're getting ready to play 3 games in four in during the week, or 4 games in a week against 4 different opponents. You don't have that time. But in the playoffs, you can really hone in, and that's what changes everything so differently. And to me, when the puck drops in the playoffs, it goes to a brand new level. Some teams can elevate it and go there. Others are nervous and anxious and kind of freeze in the moment. So that's what makes the playoffs so unpredictable.
Just a couple other notes from the WHL. I know not a ton of your time is spent watching the United States division, so I'm apologizing if I'm catching you off guard with this. But the Portland Winterhawks have only lost 6 times in regulation this season, and it's January 27th, 19-0-1-1 in their last, 21 games. That is, I just came back from an AJ broadcast over the weekend. That is like Brooks Bandits-level stuff. You don't do that in the dub. How is Portland doing this? Good grief.
Well, they're a double-headed monster. They can score with the best of them. They have scored the most goals out of any team in the U.S. division, number 2 overall in the league. Names like Seth Jarvis, Reese Newkirk, Jace Grecius, Jaden Duro, Johnny Hudvig, Cross Hannes. They've got a multitude of weapons they can throw at you up front. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that guy that won gold for Canada on the World Junior team, named Joel Hofer, the goaltender, yeah, he's a Winter Hawk as well.
Oh, great.
And when you've got that kind of star power up front and solidified by maybe one of the best goaltenders in the league, Dustin Wolf, Flames prospect, might say, hey, don't forget about me, and deservedly so. He's equally as brilliant. They're just real good. And it was interesting, Peter, to see the WHL trade deadline come and go. And everyone around the league is going, okay, Portland's great. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Deadline comes and goes. They do nothing. Sometimes the best trade is no trade because you don't disrupt the chemistry in your room. You allow your team to go. And that's one thing that, as fans, we're not privy to. Like, how tight is that room behind the scenes? I've seen it where players, trades have been happened where you bring in a guy and think, oh, he's going to lead us to the promised land. And all of a sudden, he doesn't mesh with anyone. It just doesn't work. Portland didn't mess with what's already working. Great offense, great defense. What else is there in hockey? If you can outscore your problems, you win. If you can shut the other team down, you're going to win. Portland can beat you so many different ways.
Yeah, that's I can't imagine being Everett right now. 66 points, you'd be first in every other division but one, and you'd be second in the Central, and they're 9 points back. It's like, well, great, awesome. Hope half their team gets hurt before we play them in the playoffs. That's an incredible run there from Portland, but it's going to be a fun. We're into the stretch drive in the National Hockey League, and certainly sitting right there in the WHL. Brad, thank you for doing this today, as we do every Monday, and we'll catch up again next week.
Sounds good. Three big games for the Hitmen this week. Wednesday, the Winnipeg Ice in town. Friday, the Brandon Wheat Kings. And then Saturday afternoon, the Red Deer Rebels in for a 1:30 start. So hope to see you all down at the Dome.
Yeah, those are three big games to check out. We will do that and listen for your call, Brad. Thank you.
You're welcome. Cheers.
Cheers. There you go. Brad Curl, the voice of the Calgary Hitmen, joining us today here on Hockey Central at noon. Probably should get that fixed. Hockey Central at noon here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. If you miss any of the interviews from this, you can catch up on them online, sportsnet.ca/960. If you miss anything in the world of sports, Will Nault is there for you with full disclosure every weekday at 6:45. He engages listeners with a segment that takes a longer and sometimes offbeat look at the night before in sports, and it's brought to you by Motorworks. You love your BMW? Give it the attention it deserves. Motorworks has BMW-certified technicians that will beat any competitor's quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast, or Google Motorworks Calgary. We will take a break. When we come back, No BS with Brian Burke leads us up to 1 o'clock and the Steinberg Show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is No BS with Berkey and Marek on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Another NHL All-Star game has come and gone, and once again, the women were in the spotlight. We assume women will be a permanent fixture at the event, so today we ask, what's the long game here for the NHL and the women's game? Berkey weighs in next on No BS.
Jumpstart your career this year. SATE has programs from business to healthcare and skilled trades to information technologies that fit your schedule with evening and weekend classes available. Find out how you can start as early as May 2020 at SATE.ca/the time is now.
Berkey, as the next generation of women's hockey players start to make their mark on the game, the NHL has once again held a light up to these stars. You've always been a supporter of women's hockey, so where do you think this is headed, the NHL and the women's game?
I'm really excited about the women being part of All-Star. I think it's fantastic. It was great when they invited a few of them to the skills last year. Women's hockey has improved more than any sport on the planet. And I said this a couple years ago. If track and field, men's track and field, had improved at the same rate, Usain Bolt would be running a 6-second 100 meter. They have come farther and faster than any other group of athletes on the planet. And so the long game is the NHL is prepared to support women's hockey in a big way, but they've got to clear up some stuff first. There were two leagues. There's some litigation against one of them. They're not going to step into a mess. They're going to step into a clean whiteboard and figure something out. So the league's behind it. The league has good intentions. The league has money. It's going to be good for women's hockey down in the future. We've got to get to a point where they can play professionally for a living wage. That being said, I know all these people would say to me, I love women's hockey. I support women's hockey. Well, you go to games? Do you buy tickets? Because I do. I love women's hockey. My two favorite players in the last decade were Julie Chu and Angela Ruggiero. Just terrific hockey players. My favorite player of the current group is Rebecca Johnson. I just love watching her play. So I go to the games. I follow it intently. And people have to support this. Once the NHL figures out the solution going forward, people need to support these women. If you go into a rink and watch elite women playing and just close your eyes a little bit so you can't see the ponytails, you don't think it's women at first. You think it's guys and good guys. They can skate, they can shoot, and I love watching the game. I think it's a great development for the NHL. the future of women's hockey is very bright in my mind.
Brian, from a business point of view, why should the NHL be involved?
First off, it's the right thing to do. So I think the league has a conscience and has a moral compass. It's the right thing to do. Second, women's sports have been successful at the collegiate level, the WNBA. They're successful in Europe, professional sports for women. There's no reason for it not to be successful here. They're a really important part of our audience. Who do you think the backbone of minor hockey is in Canada? Who drives these kids every day? It's mostly the moms. And, you know, the Stompin' Tom song about the hockey mom, you know, that's the backbone of the whole thing. So it's time the league gets involved.
Every 3 minutes, a Canadian will be diagnosed with cancer. In February alone, that's over 17,000 people, or enough to fill a hockey arena. Sign up for DryFeb today and raise funds for people affected by cancer in support of the Canadian Cancer Society. Giving up alcohol for a month might seem tough, but it will help people facing the biggest challenge of their lives. Visit dryfeb.ca and sign up today.
Want Brian to answer your question here? Use the hashtag #HeyBerkey on social media. Thanks for listening to No BS.